Meeting will come to order. Clerk will note the roll. There is a quorum. We have the minutes of the meeting of the last meeting before us of Monday, March 14th. Are there any corrections, additions, or changes to the minutes of the March 14th meeting? Representative Biskins moves approval of the minutes. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes are approved. One short announcement, members. Shirley has asked me to make sure that everyone pulls any extra stuff they've got out of their folders if they don't want it. We've been accumulating some things. If you don't want it, get rid of it. If you do want to keep it, that's fine, too. It's just up to you. Just up to you. And thank you again, Shirley, for all the food you continually bring us. We really appreciate it. We have one item of business today. That's House Resolution Number 6, the budget resolution. The chair will move House Resolution Number 6. And that was introduced in blank, so I will move the A1 amendment to fill in the blanks. And I guess if you'll just let me get this in order, then we can talk about the amendment when it's part of the resolution. Any discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, all in favor of the A1 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Members, the House resolution, as amended, is the budget resolution. It sets the net expenditures from the general fund as a maximum limit for the coming biennium. It also sets the budget reserve and the cash flow amounts. I'm proposing, members, that we set the budget reserve and the cash flow account at the same number that it has been the last 2 years, $653 million for the budget reserve, $350 million for the cash flow account. I'm also proposing that the budget resolution number, the maximum net expenditure limit on general fund spending, be $29,835,164,000. Members, that number is actually about $75 million above the governor's proposal in his supplemental budget. And the main difference is that we are not proposing as part of this budget resolution to put an additional $75 million into a federal budget reserve such as the governor had proposed in his supplemental budget, but instead to take that money and spend it in the various targets that we will set a few weeks from now. This amount of spending represents an increase of roughly $2 billion in biennial spending from the last biennium to this biennium. That's an increase of roughly 7%. It's my personal feeling that while there are always many state needs and certainly many, many additional claims that people could always bring to the state, a $2 billion increase in funding, a 7% increase in general funding should be enough. And I should, just for members who are new, I should mention too that this is, again, general fund spending. This does not have anything to do with non-general fund items. So, for example, anything that might happen with the gas tax is outside of this budget resolution. Fee changes, gambling changes, things like that don't impact this budget resolution because the way this is structured is basically net expenditures minus changes in non-tax revenues from the previous biennium. So if there is a change in a fee, that's something that, say, if someone wants to increase a fee later on, you can still increase a fee and not violate the budget resolution. With that, members, I would take questions, and I'd also ask if there's anyone who wants to give public testimony on this to come forward and make yourself known.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Solberg.
Can you just do some explanation of gambling again, please?
Sure.
Maybe Mr. Marks can help you also, so we make sure we understand what it is.
Okay. Well, basically, I guess to make it an easy-to-understand figures, if your net expenditures in the general fund were $30 billion, and we didn't have any casino revenue 2 years ago, and if there was a $200 million expected casino revenue as part of this, you'd have a budget resolution of $29.8 billion. It'd be the $30 billion minus the $200 million. If you later on in this process decided, well, actually, we're going to do more gambling, it'll be $300 million, you'd have $30 billion in spending, you'd subtract the $300 million difference, and you'd be again at that $29.8 billion budget resolution figure. And so I guess what I'm trying to point out, and I know this is very complicated. It took me a while to catch on to this when I first became Ways and Means Chair, but the gist of it is that changes in non-tax revenue don't affect your final budget resolution number.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative.
So, in effect, the proposal from the governor to have the casino monies flow to the general fund and or the other proposals that may be before here are just fees.
Well, Representative Solberg, this sets the net expenditure number for the general fund minus changes in non-tax revenues. To the extent that there's more gambling or less gambling, you still end up with the same bottom line number.
Mr. Chairman, I understand that, but your expenditures can be greater because you're expending fees. Is that correct?
Representative Solberg, that's correct. After we set this number, it is still possible for a committee, let's say, to decide that they feel a fee increase in some areas in order. They can do a fee increase. They can spend that money on some area they feel is of need in spending, and it does not violate the budget resolution.
Mr. Chairman, then the proposal that's out there for a quote-unquote property tax on every person, or sometimes it's called the flush tax, of $36 per person as we have that as to fund impaired waters. I think it raises like $80 million a year. That's not included in this expenditures. That's a fee. Is that correct?
I have heard it referred to as a flush fee, Representative Stolberg.
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to make sure that that's a fee or a tax. I know it's going to be on my property tax bill if it comes through, but it's a property tax fee to the state. But I know, I'll quote Ronald Reagan again. You know, Ronald Reagan said you spell fee T-A-X, but that's okay.
Well, Representative Ward, we can get into a discussion on that, and I appreciate I appreciate your statement on it. Just for the purposes of the budget resolution and figuring out what counts and what doesn't count, I want members to know what they're voting on. And so, to your question, yes, after you set this, there can be increases in fees, even though you've established this number. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And since we're on the topic of gambling, and it's a little bit off budget resolution, but is it your intention as the Chair of the Ways and Means Committee, hypothetically, if a gambling bill were to pass out of other committees, would it be finding its way through the Ways and Means Committee?
Representative Larson, any bill that raises money or spends money or has an economic impact on the state will stop at this committee.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Kamar.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A question for you or staff. If the budget resolution passes the House, I'm assuming it will, procedurally, if at some point later in the session it's determined that that's not sufficient, could a member on the prevailing side who voted for the budget resolution bring back the budget resolution to have it amended?
Representative Kamar, I think as in any bill, once a bill has left the House, no, you can't. In this case, once the budget resolution is established, no, a member on the prevailing side couldn't vote to reconsider it, except right at that day where the debate had taken place. On the other hand, we have, as some members will recall, former members changed the budget resolution in the past with a motion coming out of this committee. And so it's certainly possible that we might have a future resolution that would change the budget resolution. Quite commonly, we've done that for some fairly minor corrections to address just a $1 million or $2 million error of some kind. Certainly, we could do it for larger numbers as well.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Biskins and then Carlson. Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, I think that was a rather interesting question because that resolution really never leaves the possession of the House, but I think I'd have to check with a parliamentarian to see how that would work. But my question, we had a little discussion about the impact of this budget on property taxes, the property tax increase that the governor has proposed, mainly K-12 funding, and I assume, being that your number is fairly close to what the governor has recommended, then we're going to see significant property tax increases across the state. And I raise that question because I know I just received my property tax statement for the last biennium yesterday, and I met with a group of senior citizens from my district at noon today, and that was an issue that they were very aware of, having just also received their property tax statements, and they were describing it as very significant. So, Mr. Chairman, if you or maybe Mr. Marks could refresh our memory in terms of what the property tax increase that the governor has proposed, what that will be in total across the state, and what
I'll just stop there. Representative Carlson, I guess I don't know that number. I can certainly ask Mr. Marks for it, but I would say that this budget resolution does not presuppose the governor's education plan. We're putting an additional $75 million into additional spending over and beyond the governor's plan. There could be property taxes, such as the governor is suggesting in the education bill. There might not be property taxes, such as the governor is recommending, and that will be an item for the Education Committee, of which I believe you are a member, to help sort out.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we know that what the governor has proposed in numbers, then, if there were not, with the number that you put before us, a property tax increase, that would raise a very interesting question in terms of where the money for K-12 education would come from. I don't know, maybe Mr. Marks can share for us then, if that's all right, Mr. Chairman, what, at least under the governor's numbers, what that the tax increase was that he proposed.
Mr. Marks, do you recall that number offhand?
Mr. Chair, I don't have the property tax numbers with me. I have the others. I could find, find the numbers and get back to you shortly if you'd like.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Sikora.
It's in the high $140 million bracket. I can't tell you the exact cents.
Mr. Chairman, I'll accept that for now, and if it's significantly different, maybe Mr. Marks can let us know. I assume that that may be fairly close because she does chair
Mr.
the...
Mr. Chair, it's 141. I didn't realize Mr. Crow was behind me, the font of all knowledge.
And all right.
It's 141.
We're told it's 141 million.
I just was interested in what the potential tax increases were in this bill, so thank you.
Well, again, members, there's nothing about a property tax increase in voting for this. This basically just sets the net expenditures, general fund expenditures, that we will be putting together all together in our budget. Other discussion? Representative Mariani.
Sure, thank you. how do we treat one-time transfers from accounts that are sitting around in regards to this bottom line number?
Representative Mariani, those are non-tax revenues, so the changes in those from the previous biennium would be credited or debited against that top number.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Solberg,
to follow up on that, then the 200 and some million, I think it's 201 million, that's in the health care access fund that comes from the sick tax that the providers are paying to pay for Minnesota care. Under the governor's proposal, he's transferring that one way or another. That's not counted?
Well, Representative Solberg, if you look at the sheet that was handed out as part of this, you'll see this item, non-tax revenue changes that the governor had of $54,101,000. Basically, that is a compilation of many, many non-tax revenue changes, the gambling, the health care access fund, the electricity board, on and on and on. I could certainly give you the detail. It looks like you have the detail of that, but I can give people the detail of that if they wish. And to the extent that the health care access fund was transferred in or not transferred in, or to the extent that there are transfers for other non-general fund accounts, that would impact that positively or negatively. Again, the real reason this is structured this way is to set up a situation where we say this is the amount of tax revenue we've got coming in from the state, and if you want to go above this number, you either need to take it from the budget reserve or you need to raise taxes, one or the other. If you want to have more money for fees, that's a possibility. That's not part of this. But to the extent that you want to raise taxes, if you go above this number, you're raising taxes unless you're taking it from the budget reserve.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Solberg.
This does include some of the governor's taxes that are repeal of the sunset and the car rental, cigarette sales collection, which comes from the wholesale instead of the retailer. There's some upfront payment of fees. I think the car rental is something like $76 million over the biennium, I believe. Cigarette tax is $82 million altogether, I think. Yeah, I might be mistaken on that.
I think that's about high. 10, Representative.
About 10, yes, I'm sorry. The least upfront payment of sales tax of leased vehicles, $43 million increase of taxes. I don't know, the governor's kind of no sales tax or no tax increases, but there's the cigarette or the wine and beer repeal sends that tax is just about $84 million. It's kind of interesting to see all the tax increases for the no tax pledge.
Well, Representative Solberg, I'm sure we'll be talking about that a whole lot more.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it's kind of a fine definition of how you define tax increases, whether you define a fee or a repeal. I mean, it looks like repeal is also spelt non-tax, even though it raises significant monies. I just identified about $150 million.
Representative Abrams.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Solberg, on the wine and beer and on the rental cars, you have to go to session law. And if you go to the session law, what you will find is that an alternative revenue replacement was to be found for the rental cars and for the wine and beer taxes, the liquor taxes. And because at the time that law was adopted, it was thought that these items would not be in compliance with the Streamline Project. So you can say, well, you have, is a repeal a tax increase or isn't it a tax increase? But add to that, at least as to those two items, I'm not talking about any of the other items, but at least to those two items, add to that a replacement revenue stream was to be found, and replacement is just to continue the revenue streams that were currently being used.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I appreciate that, and your knowledge of that is much greater than mine will ever be. But it's also kind of interesting. It's kind of on where we used to tax bread for about 6 months and repealed that as well.
I got a great list.
and I understand that, you know, that we as a nation and all the states are trying our best to have some conformity and there's some problems in that. But I point that out that sometimes a no tax is only in the eyes of the beholder and how you define it, whether it's a fee or a replacement or a repeal or whatever you want.
Other discussion? Representative Krinke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Solberg. I believe at this point all we have in front of us are proposals. So those tax increases or proposed tax revenue raisers, however you want to form them, are nothing more than proposals. The committee hasn't acted on any of those as of yet. So I think until you can say they're, you can brand them tax increases, I think you have to wait until the legislature actually acts and it's signed into law. Then you can go out and brand them as tax whatever you want.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Krinke, I stand corrected that we aren't raising taxes, nor you, but the governor's proposal is here, and he's the one about talking about the no tax pledge and all those kind of things. Just want to point out some consistencies. It's how you define it.
Representative Vanderveer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to make sure I understand this. If by voting for this budget resolution, I'm voting to increase spending over the biennium about $2,000 million. Is that correct?
Representative Vandeveer, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
What was that number?
$2 billion. Yeah, this budget resolution represents an increase of about $2 billion in general fund spending in the 06-07 biennium versus the 04-05 biennium. See no further discussion. Representative Paymar.
Mr. Chair, I just want to clarify something. You said that this budget resolution had nothing to do with property taxes.
Well, Representative Paymar, there's nothing in this budget resolution that I should perhaps say deals with local property taxes, because the commercial industrial levy that the state takes as a state property tax is presupposed to be in these numbers. I mean, in theory, a person could, with this, eliminate that entirely and replace it with some other tax, but I think most people would be believing that we'll continue to collect that revenue.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess the only comment I would make is that that may be true on the face, but in fact, by not raising enough money, and not having a higher budget resolution, in fact, our property taxpayers are going to be paying more. And that's just the reality of it. Despite the increase in K-12 education, I think my school district is going to be facing a $25 million deficit. The cuts to health care is going to mean that Ramsey County is going to have to be paying more. Even my mayor, Mayor Kelly, is talking about raising city taxes, which has held steady for probably 8 years in a row because of cuts to LGA. So to say that this isn't about property taxes is somewhat of a misnomer, because every property taxpayer in this state is going to be feeling it. So in my estimation, it's sort of a shift, and it's an abdication of responsibility by this legislature vis-a-vis our relationship with our cities and counties and school districts.
Well, Representative Paymar, I would simply say that, firstly, as to local property taxes, those are, of course, decisions of local elected officials. You can read into this number what you wish. A $2 billion increase in general fund spending from the last biennium to this one, in my view, should be enough.
Sure.
Representative Solberg.
Just one other procedural question. I think the rules require that us to report this by Tuesday, I think. Is that correct? Or report a resolution by, is it the 17th or 15th?
Actually, Representative Solberg, the rules require us to report this out of this committee within 20 days of the last budget resolution.
So we
need to report this by Saturday if we don't do it today.
Report that, but that follows up my next question. Rules don't require the House to ever act on this. When do you expect that the House will? This will be before the House. Do you know for sure?
Representative Stolberg, I do not know for sure. I would expect sometime next week.
Okay. And when you determine that, will you share that with our leadership as well?
Representative Stolberg, I absolutely will. I actually talked to Representative Intenza on floor today. I think it's more likely Tuesday or Wednesday based on the discussion I had with him, but we haven't set a firm date, and we'll certainly talk to him about it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Representative Frankie.
Chairman, I just wanted to say that if there are members who are concerned about property taxes, property tax increases, I have a couple of opportunities. Number one is I have a property tax freeze bill. I think there are plenty of room left for anyone who wants to co-author that with me. I also have the taxpayer satisfaction survey legislation. So, and I don't know that I've seen any legislation introduced on property tax levies. But again, the staff is ready, willing, and able to draft legislation for anyone who wants to have levy limits in place also. So the opportunities abound if one is concerned about property taxes.
Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, Representative Krinke, Representative Vandeveer is the property tax guy. You don't let him do anything.
Well, what the heck do you think I had you do for?
Representative Solberg.
And Mr. Chair, just one other thing. If we want to really talk about a budget resolution, that we're doing to try to do is to add up all the bills that have been introduced by both sides of the political aisle and to increase spending, and we would have a very, very large, very, very large budget resolution if we just took the Republican side of the increase, and then if we put the Democrat side in, we'd probably match up. So besides the property tax fees, there's a propensity here to make sure we introduce our bills to spend money as well.
There are always any requests. Any other discussion? Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of the adoption of House Resolution Number 6 as amended, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. The resolution is adopted. With that, members, have a good weekend. Meeting's adjourned.